We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home with you here on a Thursday evening, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sorry, had to slap something there. It was a fly on the wall. Back with you here, 404. Sorry, I got distracted there, but sometimes, you know, you got to fly on the wall. You got to swat it. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers number text line. Leave us a comment there. Don't forget to download the Radio.com app. That's how you listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. We know you want to listen to the radio station, so download that. Put that on your device, whatever you may have, your smartphone, your smart speakers, your tablet, your turntable, your LaserDisc player, I don't know, Commodore 64, Sega Genesis, whatever you got for a device, just download it onto that to always catch us on the go. Social media, all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms there. As always, the best way to be a part of our show, through our personal Twitter handles, reach myself. That would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show. Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. This is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. Bleacher Report went through and graded out every team's 2020 undrafted free agent signings. Now, obviously, this is something very, very subjective because, well, obviously, nobody's been on the field doing anything thus far, so to try to figure out who won, who lost, or what have you, kind of tough to do something like that, you know, when we don't have any information and we haven't seen guys on the field yet. But they say in this, in ranking each team's haul, two undrafted free agents stand out among the Atlanta Falcons class because the organization doubled down at their respective positions. Vanderbilt's Jared Pinkney was once considered a top tight end prospect, but he didn't produce during his final year on campus and compounded problems with a poor 40-yard dash time at the combine. Even so, he's a capable H-back behind Hayden Hurst, whom franchise acquired via trade. Falcons also signed Arkansas's Austin Capps, who is listed as a center. Franchise already drafted Matt Hennessy in this year's third round as a potential Alex Mack replacement. Capps can compete with Hennessy at center, guard, or interior utility blocker. They give the Falcons overall grade a C for their free agent signings. Again, I don't know what to make of all of that, but, you know, we will see. Thomas has done a decent job in the past of finding some guys. You know, the Paul Warlows, the Ryan Schraders of the world. So give Thomas credit that he's been able to find some guys in the past that have been able to come in here and contribute to this team and be a part of it, you know, in a meaningful way. So I'll give Thomas some of the benefit of the doubt. You're not trying to find a lot of those guys. You're just trying to find, you know, diamond in the rough here, a guy here, and a guy there. And listen, for a guy like Ryan Schrader, they squeezed everything out of him. What, Valdosta State, right? They squeezed everything out of Ryan Schrader they could possibly get for as long as they can get him. You know, obviously the long-term upside of those guys is what the big question is. You know, can you get 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? I mean, you know, the chances of getting 7 or 8 years is pretty slim, but can you get a good 2, 3, 4 maybe year run out of one of those guys. That's kind of what you're hoping for, even if you get a couple of good strong years out of one of those guys. All right, so a couple of Atlanta Falcons making the rounds in the media. Matt Ryan, who's kind of become the darling of media, not just through sports channels, but yesterday was on The Daily Show. Let's hear from Matt Ryan, first talking about meeting with the community leaders to find what best uses for his GoFundMe money that's been raised.
What I've found throughout my life is when it's an area that I don't know the most about, I think it's important to find people that do and find people that you trust and have them kind of guide you the direction you need to go. And so that's what I'm currently in the process of doing. I've had great conversations with probably about 8 different people from the Atlanta community right now that are heavily involved at the grassroots level in terms of community organizers and people that do this every day.
So obviously Matt set up the GoFundMe account trying to get to $2 million. I think he's gotten pretty darn close if he hasn't already gotten there. He gave $500,000 himself, several of his teammates and coaches that contributed as well. And look, I mean, Matt trying to do the right thing. Certainly, hopefully, you know, we count on the idea that the money would be put to good use. And, you know, I think Matt's a savvy enough guy and a smart enough guy that he's not going to waste time, you know, in any kind of, you know, misadventures with it. So I do think that he'll be a good steward for this and the money will actually get put to really good use. All right, here's Matt Ryan as he talks about being called on by his teammates to do more.
Some of the comments that were made were that we appreciate you guys having our back and having, you know, telling us that you support us, but I think it would help more if you did it publicly and you were able to go out and use the platform that you have to, you know, to encourage change. And so that was one of the parts, you know, just as a friend and listening to my friends and my teammates, it just seemed like that was the next step that needed to happen, because what we had been doing up until this point hadn't really worked.
So obviously, you know, Matt's been a leader among all of this. He's been a guy that's been out front, vocal about his support, but also putting his money where his mouth is. And to Matt's point, look, he's on things like The Daily Show. You know, The Daily Show, I mean, with all due respect, if I told you that 11 years into Matt Ryan's career, he's going to be making an appearance on The Daily Show, you looked at me like I had 3 heads, right? And by the way, not Craig Kilborn anymore hosting The Daily Show. Didn't he host the, he was the original host, Craig Kilborn, right? Guy who used to be on ESPN, SportsCenter, and all that, right? He was the original host. Then Jon Stewart took over. And then who's this guy now? Trevor Noah or something like that? That's the host now. Here's Matt Ryan talking about how changes are about short and long-term goals.
You know, my focus with this is, you know, to make a difference now for sure, but you know, not, you know, rush into doing something just to do it because the momentum is there right now. Let's do something that's going to impact making change for the long haul.
Well, certainly that's what this is about, you know, trying to raise money, trying to raise capital to help, you know, install some things that will be not just short-term benefit, but long-term benefit and goals as well. Let's hear from Matt Ryan one more clip, talking about how he knows he has time right now that he could put energy into some of these positive causes.
I don't have these other ties, you know, to my professional life right now. We have this time. We have this opportunity to be able to put our energy and our effort in into that. And I think it's, you know, it's an important thing to be able to do that right now because we need to make a change. The way things have operated and the way things have gone up until this point isn't good enough. And so, you know, my hope is to be able to, you know, use the platform that I have to be able to create awareness and help in the ways that I can help.
Well, certainly he's doing that. No question about it that he's been a leader through all of this ordeal that that the country's been through and, you know, continues to do good work. And believe it or not, it will not be very long before we actually get back into football activity. So good for Matt. Good to see that Matt Ryan getting a platform outside of sports, you know, to be able to express his thoughts and show his leadership and kind of put his money where his mouth is through all of this. All right, on Good Morning Football, Ken O'Neill appeared on it earlier today. Let's hear from him. Here's Ken O'Neill talking about how being hyped without results really doesn't mean a whole lot.
I got a lot of respect for the other teams and the players on there. You know, Drew, Teddy, you know, Tom coming over. You know, the NFC South is packed with talent. You know, the whole hype thing, I don't look too much into it. You know, and we don't as a team either. You know, we focus on ourselves, focus on, you know, the organization and what we have within, and build on it. But yeah, hype without results mean nothing in my eyes. So, you know, like the hype is the hype. Once the season starts, then, you know, everything will fall into place. So I'm just excited to get back with the guys.
We've talked about this consistently on the show. I like the fact that the Atlanta Falcons are not getting a bunch of love and not getting, you know, there's pockets of it and there's, you know, factions of it. But by and large, most people say, oh, well, the Falcons are going to finish third. Now, a lot of people think even finishing third, they're going to be a playoff team because they have a talented enough roster. But I love the idea of, you know, I mean, the Falcons, you know, they've been kind of set. They've been kind of average. Yeah, maybe they make the playoffs, but, you know, they're third in their division. You know, they're not going to win the division. I like that. Good. Use it as a rallying cry. Use it as something to motivate yourself. Oh, well, you know, look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, all of a sudden, they're the cream of the crop. How many years in a row did we hear that Tampa Bay won the offseason? Remember that? Didn't we go like 4 years in a row, Jarvis, where everybody's like, oh, Tampa Bay, man, they won the offseason again. They got this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. And it never materialized in anything. And maybe they do. Maybe this is the year that it all comes together for Tampa Bay. But I like the fact that the Falcons are kind of under the radar with everything this year. All right, Ken O'Neill talking about how dealing in his dealings with his injuries from the last couple of years.
By God's grace, I feel awesome. I feel like myself again, and I'm grateful, man. These past couple of years have been tough, but I try not to look at the negatives. I try to think positive about it. I got a lot of opportunities to spend time with my wife, my family, friends, and grow myself personally.
I mean, crazy when you think about it to miss back-to-back seasons with season-ending injuries. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know how often that's ever happened in the history of the NFL, but certainly a guy who feels like he's snake bit. And look, Ken O'Neill is a guy that's certainly been, he's certainly proven his value for that pick, but there is a lot of questions about what's he got left in the tank. And you know, what do you do long-term with Ken O'Neill? Do you, you know, he's obviously, because of the injury hardships, you know, he's going to be on this football team no matter what because they're going to pay him no matter what. But what can he give you on the football field? What has he got left in the tank? Is he going to be a Falcon long-term? You know, it's obviously a, you know, show-me kind of year for this franchise. If he doesn't, you know, if he can't get it done or stay healthy, then you're not going to pay him the big money. But, you know, the flip side is if he balls out this year and has a great year, what does that do for his market value? You know, safeties have kind of been a mixed bag as far as teams being willing to pay for it. And when you talk about Ken O'Neill and the type of safety that he is, what's the open market? How many franchises are in the loop for a safety that is the type that Ken O'Neill is? Now, speaking of that, let's hear Ken O'Neill talking about how his on his mindset about being a throwback type of safety.
My thing is just to make my presence felt. So when whoever's catching the ball, when I see them, they see me. They just got to know that I'm coming. So that's my mindset.
Well, throwback is one thing, but you know, is he a system safety? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of one of the knocks is that, okay, Pete Carroll, Dan Quinn, they want safeties like that, right? They want that Cam Chancellor kind of, you know, box safety and come down and do this and do that, you know? So the question is, you know, how many systems does he fit into? Look, my thing is if you're a really good football player, everybody will find a spot on the field for you, okay? But if you've got an injury-prone guy that is looked at as a more system-type safety, what does become of the open market for him? Well, that's something that remains to be seen, but certainly having Ken O'Neill back in the mix is more of a good thing than it is a negative thing. All right, when we get back, it will be time for That's Life, a very meh day on the market. Not a lot of green, that's for sure. And when the aliens coming? Where are the aliens at? Space aliens. We'll talk about that next. This is John Chuckwa Show, hanging out with you on this Thursday evening. Sports Radio 99 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Chuckwa Show. 9:22 on a Thursday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Leave us a comment there. At 929 The Game for social media. At JMCH316. At JarvisD90. All right, several things to get into. A very meh day on the market. One piece of good news. I lost some money today. I mean, I lost 0.5% today, but still. Red is red, man. Red is dead. I don't want red. Don't want red. Jarvis, the one stock that I told you guys about that I bought the other day, BIOC, that I bought for 61.79 cents per share. I know that's not the right numbers, but 0.6179, so 6179 cents per share. It gained 47.2% today, closed at 95 cents a share on it. So, yeah, it really jumped today. So I've been kind of waiting for that thing to kick in from a few days ago. So hopefully that trend continues out there. And, you know, that was a good day today to pick up a little bit on that. Very little green out there today. But also, too, didn't really lose a whole lot in some things. I mean, some of the stuff I had, there's a couple of losers, you know, out of all of it. But nothing too dramatic out there. So, but still, you just, you know, you hate to see red. You hate to have red in your portfolio for the day when you finish up everything. But that was good news. Good news about that particular stock. Let's see how it does to end the week. Be nice to end the week with some green. Fridays have been pretty good here lately. This is a sad story, and this ties into what we've been doing with the stock market and the fact that you have to be careful about what goes on in the money and not getting too high, too low. There is a young man, a 20-year-old. Let's see here. They have his name out here. Alexander E. Kearns. He is a 20-year-old, was a 20-year-old. It says, the note found on his computer by his parents on June 12th asked a simple question. How is a 20-year-old with no income able to get assigned almost $1 million worth of leverage? That was part of a note that was left by Alexander, a 20-year-old, who unfortunately killed himself, took his own life. It says that, like so many others, Kearns took up stock investing during the pandemic, signing up with millennial-focused brokerage firm Robinhood, which offers commission-free trading. Now, Jarvis, you do Robinhood, right? Because my buddy at work does Robinhood. You do Robinhood as well, right?
Yeah, I'm on Robinhood. Yeah, really like that.
So I do E-Trade. You do Robinhood. My buddy does Robinhood. We were talking about Robinhood really has these communities that talk with one another about investing. That's how Hertz got all the momentum behind it that it did, was Robinhood users and some of these group chats and stuff. So it's got an easy-to-use mobile app and even rewards new customers with free shares of stock. I don't remember. My buddy said he got, like, some $4 stock. But you can potentially get, like, Apple or Amazon or something crazy like that, right? It says, during the first quarter of 2020, Robinhood recorded 3 million new accounts to its platform. And Kurds have begun experimenting trading options, which that's what we've talked about here. That if you want to make money and make it quicker, you got to go with the options part of it. He said he had no clue what he was doing, though, and kind of, you know, put harsh words toward Robinhood. It says that a screenshot from Kearns' mobile phone reveals that while he had an account, his account had a negative. You ready for this? His account had a negative $730,165 cash balance. Now, it says it may not have represented uncollateralized indebtedness at all, but rather his temporary balance until the stocks underlying his assigned options actually settled into his account. It says Robinhood's not sharing the details of Kern's account, citing privacy, but all of us at Robinhood are deeply sad to hear this terrible news, and we reached out to share condolences with the family over the weekend. But he had a negative balance of $730,165. So, you know, listen, we talk about, you know, scared money don't make money. You know, we kind of have some fun with it and this, that, and the other. Don't bet on more than what you could lose for anything. But here's the thing, is that you don't make or lose money in the market until you start selling. You know, when you start to sell off your portfolio, that's when you've either made or lost money. Everything up till then is just numbers on paper. And it's why we say about staying long term in something like this. I mean, this is a terrible story. And I'm sure he's not the only person that's ever done something like this. You know, I mean, killed himself over. I mean, listen, people do crazy things about some of this stuff. Remember Mark Barton, the day trader here in Atlanta that shot up the day trader firm down in Buckhead? We're talking about Buckhead earlier. Then he earlier in the day killed his girlfriend and her son and all that. I mean, people do crazy things at times, you know, on this, in their goal of trying to make money. But when you get into, you know, options and you start doing, calls and puts, you know, you can go crazy with some of this stuff, and you can get into real big fluctuations of money and income. This is where guys, you know, can really make or break themselves in the market. You know, so there's the yin and the yang of it, of okay, do I just do like a normal investor and stay the course, or do I add more risk in and try to get rich quick? That's where the, hey, I invested $10,000 in the market and now I've got $2.5 million. Well, that's not because he held onto a stock for a few months or whatever like that. That's because you're getting into the options game of it. And that's where these guys, that's where that whole day trading thing comes in. Terrible story about a 20-year-old, you know, this happening, you know, to him. But, you know, unfortunately, you have to realize what it is that you have to let the system play itself out. And until you start selling, you know, then you're not losing that money. You know, you're until you start to give money back, you know, that money is just a number that's out there. So when I talk about my gains and things like that, until I start cashing stuff in, there are no gains. The money's not there. There's no residual money coming in my bank account. I'm holding on to this, and it will either grow or, you know, either go up or go down, you know, over the course of time. But history says that if you invest long term, you will always get your money back. All right, so MIT has released a statement saying that they are getting these strange repeating rhythms of fast radio bursts that are coming from outside of our galaxy. They say that they're coming from 500 million light years away, which, if you want to know what a light year is, that's about 6 trillion miles away. It says in a statement, quote, fast radio bursts, or FRBs, are short, intense flashes of radio waves that are thought to be the product of small, distant, extremely dense objects, though exactly what those objects might be in a long-standing mystery in astrophysics. FRBs typically last a few milliseconds, during which time they can outshine entire galaxies. Now, if you can sort all that out, God bless you. But here's the thing. A study has come out that talks about, from the Astrophysical Journal, from scientists at the University of Nottingham, they estimate that there is a minimum of 36 communicating intelligent alien civilizations just even within the Milky Way galaxy. So now this gets back to that age-old question of, do you believe in aliens? Do you believe that we're the only intelligent life form in the Milky Way galaxy is right here on Earth? Or are there aliens and people in other places? I find it hard to believe that the only creatures like us in the entire universe are right here on Earth, in a perfect set of circumstances. I just find it hard to believe that we're the only ones that do this. Now, maybe we're the only ones that are wrestling fans, okay? We'll hear from Vince Russo coming back after the break. But, I do believe that there's an Area 51. You can call me a conspiracy theorist. I get it. I do believe there's an Area 51. I do believe that there have been UFOs and things like that caught before. I think it's impossible for the U.S. government to have as much technology and military weaponry as what they have and not have run across something of an alien life form or somebody has visited. Hell, we send probes all the time. What, wasn't there a picture from Mars the other day or something on one of those rovers or telescopes or something? Right? I mean, we launch stuff into space all the time to take pictures of Mars and Venus. I mean, we take pictures of Uranus. Oh, wait, sorry. But anyway, I don't think that we're just the only intelligent life form out there. And by the way, there's a lot of us that aren't very intelligent, so we've got that going for us. We're just feel like we're some of us are just a step above an amoeba. But anyway, I find it hard to believe that we would be the only regular life form that is out there. That there's got to be somebody else out there in the universe that can communicate and has traits that we have as human beings out there. By the way, they say that estimate is conservative. It's based on the assumption that intelligent life forms on other planets in a similar way to how it's done on Earth using what they call astrobiological Copernican limit. They say that the researchers assume the Earth is not special. If an Earth-like planet forms in an Earth-like orbit around a sun-like star, hosting a civilization that develops technology in a smaller way to humans, there'd be approximately 36 Earth-like civilizations in our galaxy. Now, they said one of the differences is that people on other planets eat corn on the cob straight up and down, not side to side the way that we did. No, I'm just teasing. That's just a dumb comment. There should be at least a few dozen active civilizations in our galaxy under the assumption that it takes 5 billion years for intelligent life form on other planets as on Earth, according to Christopher Concelis. Concelice. The idea is looking at evolution, but on a cosmic scale. Okay. I mean, I wonder how far out we'll ever send man. Will we ever send man way out in space, like to Jupiter or somewhere like that? I don't know. Can man survive that far out away in the galaxy? I mean, can you sustain life out that far and communicate? I don't know. That's way above my pay grade on all of that stuff. But it does make you wonder if we wouldn't send human beings to go to Mars or go to Venus or go to Neptune. Or, you know, now some of these planets are so extreme in their weather conditions that you couldn't survive. But could human beings get within striking distance of Mars or something like that? I don't know. I mean, obviously we send robots and things like that. But will we ever see human beings head to another planet? You know, these private industries like Virgin and stuff like that, you know, Tesla, they've tried to build, you know, rockets that people can fly up in space and stuff like that, go to the moon or something like that, you know, go get a Whataburger on the moon or something like that, you know. So I don't know, but I do believe that there are other intelligent life forms out there. I don't think that we are unique in the universe at all. All right, speaking of being unique, Vince Russo, former lead writer for the WWF, joined us earlier in the program. We'll let you hear that interview coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.